your Bible with me this morning to Philippians chapter 3 as we continue our Bible study today in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, and I want you to read with me again today, would you please, from verse 4. Philippians 3, verse 4. Paul said, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Now, if I read the passage again, and I considered the sense, the meaning in the passages, without going into certain detail that Paul has in there, I believe, and this is my opinion, and I don't know that much about English, but I believe that the colon after the verse, after the word Lord in verse 8, would bring about me reading the passage like this without doing harm, but yet shedding light in the passage. For instance, look in verse 7. "But what things were gained to me?" There's seven of them that he lists back there. They're gained to me. "Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things," that is the things that I could accomplish by the flesh, is what he's saying, "but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." And then drop down to verse 10. "That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." I believe that the thought continues after the word Lord, but it is like, and I've been had explained to me, that the colon is like unto a tree. That is the main body of thought. The tree represents the main body of thought. Well, what Paul is after is in verse 10 and 11. That which he is enduring and suffering is in verse 10. That which he aims at is in verse 11. He wants to attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So the main body of truth is there. That which follows after verse 8 after the word Lord is like limbs growing off from the tree. They pertain to the subject. They're explanations where the subject is concerned, but they're not the subject itself. The subject is in the fact that Paul could not arrive at that which he was looking forward to in verse 11 by the seven things of the flesh that he could boast in. They had nothing to do with that. Not only could he not gain that by doing them, if he continued to do them, he would lose that which he looked forward to in verse 11. Now, as I study the Philippian epistle, and as we go into this passage, there are some things that we must consider first. And I hope that you won't be bored if I go back over some things, but number one, I want to stress again the fact that in the book of Ephesians, Paul is stressing our position in the body of Christ. He is stressing the fact that everything that we have in Christ is by grace through faith. we who were dead in trespasses and sins hath been quickened, and we are now crucified with Christ, seated with him, risen and seated with him in heavenly places. It is strictly grace. The word, the truth in Philippians, though, is quite different. In Philippians, Paul is stressing the crown. He is stressing works, as it were, to gain a prize that is associated with that position which is ours in the heavens. We cannot work for that position. That position is already ours. It is ours by faith. It is ours by grace. Jesus Christ suffered on Calvary to gain that for us. He gained it for us. But Philippians is stressing a prize that is associated with that inheritance which is already ours. And this prize can only be attained by works. It is not attained for us by the Lord. It is attained by us through the power of Christ. And of course through His grace, as His grace works in us, as His Spirit works in us, in fact. But this book is stressing the working out in our lives of the truth that is stressed in the book of Philippians, the book of Ephesians. There are two sides to the coin that I want you to look at. On the one side, we have salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. But on the other side of the coin is a prize. It is a reward. It is a crown. On one side, we're told to sit down. We're told to rest, in effect, in the finished work of Christ. But on the other, on the other side, we're told to run. We're told to fight a conflict. We're told to take the sword of the Spirit, and we're to go praying as we use the sword. We are to, on one side, sit down and rest in the finished work of Christ. But on the other side of the coin, we're told to work and strive for an for a crown, a prize, a reward associated with the inheritance that is ours upon which we sit, or where we sit, and so forth. Now, this is brought out very clearly by comparing several passages of Scripture. For instance, go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no doubt about that. The Corinthians were already saved. He's writing to them that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I use the conflict, notice in chapter 9, in 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. You who already are believers, you who already have trusted Christ, run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the master is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now that truth is in the book of Corinthians, and yet the truth involved in that which I'm discussing goes even further than that. For instance, if I take Romans on the one side and compare it with Corinthians on the other side, notice what I come up with. For instance, go back to Romans chapter 5. And the student of the Scripture, the man and the woman that really studies the Word of God, could never miss this if they had their eyes open while they're reading. For instance, look in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no doubt about the justification that is implied in the passage. Look in verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The salvation of these Romans, along with the Apostle Paul, is absolutely secure, and it is secured by their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were justified by faith, and they shall be saved from wrath. They had no fear of the wrath of God. If I consider this as the church in the whole, all of the church, then I can present the truth of the book of Romans to the church and say, we are justified by faith, and being justified by faith, we shall be saved from wrath through him, and that truth is very secure there. I can be secure in saying that. I know that I'm on solid ground when I preach that truth. Justification is by faith, justification is by blood, and justification is by grace. The Roman church is presented as justified in Christ Jesus, having died in Romans chapter 6, crucified with Christ, buried and risen with him. And according to Romans chapter 6, they're dead to sin. According to Romans chapter 7, they're dead to the law. And these justified, saved saints of God were assured by the Apostle Paul that they would be saved from wrath through the Lord Jesus Christ. I keep stressing that because I want you to understand that what we're going to be studying in the book of Philippians is not a matter of being saved from wrath. The Philippians already, as the Romans, are saved from wrath. But just as the Romans, as the book in itself, is written to the church presenting justification by grace, justification by faith, and justification by blood, so the book of Corinthians presents the church in its carnality running for a prize. The same church is written to by Paul when he writes the Corinthian letter that he writes to as he writes the Roman letter. In the Roman letter, he writes to them as justified. In the Corinthian letter, he writes to them as walking in the flesh and fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and warns them that even though they will go away when the Lord comes, they will be caught out, they might not receive the prize unless they run the race. For instance, in Romans, he presents them justified. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There can be no mistaking that. These Corinthians, they were to not have a fear of the suffering the wrath of God. The Romans were told, you are justified by faith, and being justified by faith, you shall be saved from wrath through the Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture of the church is not in question in the book of Philippians, is what I want you to see. The prize of Philippians is not the rapture of the church. The prize in Philippians is a prize associated with the inheritance that is already ours by grace through faith. We are assured by faith that if we're saved, if we are justified, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That is secure, that is plain, that is clear in the scripture. So that I can take the book of Romans and I can present salvation with the book of Romans. I can take the book of Corinthians and I can present the saved in their carnal setting. I can present it in the denominational setting that there is today. Those who are in the denominations who believe the truth of Romans shall go out at the rapture just the same as everybody else, but they might not receive the prize. That's the whole thing in the nutshell. Salvation on one side, the prize on the other. Salvation by grace through faith, the prize by works. the prize by putting off the works of the flesh, the prize by putting on Christ, the prize by putting off the old man and putting on the new. This truth is exhibited throughout the Pauline epistles. Turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith of Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." We already, he said, have been delivered from the wrath to come. In other words, he said, you're saved. He said, you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and wait for the rapture of the church. Wait for his Son from heaven, who will save you from the wrath to come. The same truth as is presented in Romans chapter 5. But then look in chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, verse 5, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The truth is clear. These people who were justified by faith, these people who turned from their idols and received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and Paul said, you believe the gospel that we preached unto you, you received it, all right, they got saved. They are assured that the Lord is going to come. They are assured that the dead in Christ are going to rise. They are assured that they themselves will be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. They're not working for that. That is associated with their calling. That is associated with their inheritance that is secure by grace through faith. But look on the other side of the coin at what they can lose or gain as children of God. For instance, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, "We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token," that is, your patience and faith is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, "that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer." You see, they might not be counted worthy. They were assured of their salvation. They were assured of their rapture. They were assured that salvation was by them having believed the gospel of Paul and whatever. They were assured that their bodies would be changed and they would be caught up into heaven. But they were not guaranteed that they would be worthy of that which was waiting them after they go there. They must work for that. Come down to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, it has been preached in recent years by men that the rapture is going to be split, and that we are to work toward the rapture, and that if we do good, and if we put off the works of the flesh, then we will receive a rapture that other people will not receive. That is just a lot of hot air. That is not scriptural. The scriptural truth is that every justified individual shall be saved from wrath through the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is that every saved individual shall be caught out when the Lord shall descend from heaven, and his vile body shall be changed. But something that is on the other side is that many of us, unless we put off the works of the flesh, unless we run the race lawfully that is set before us, we will not receive the prize that is associated with our high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. There is a prize to be gained by running a race. That truth is brought out in the book of Philippians. Then notice this truth, how it is presented in the book of Colossians. Turn, please, to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, and notice verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, that is your faith in Christ Jesus, do not cease to pray for you. Paul wouldn't be praying for lost people and praising God for them. He might pray for them to get saved, but he wouldn't be writing this letter unto them if they were lost. We do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. Now watch it closely. Which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There can be no misunderstanding that. There can be no getting around that. We already have been made meet, that is, worthy of this inheritance. We're worthy of the inheritance by our faith in Christ Jesus. As we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become worthy to be heirs of God. We are made worthy by faith. And we have been delivered from the power of darkness. We have already been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are in Christ Jesus. The kingdom is there where he is. And he's in the kingdom. Therefore, if we're in him, we're in the kingdom. We're seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. These things are secure. But then on the other side, on the other hand, turn please to chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 23. In chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which hath done, and there is no respect of persons. There can be no misunderstanding this truth. We already are assured of an inheritance, but there is a reward associated with that inheritance. This is the same truth that is presented in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go back to 2 Corinthians 5 and hold on to Colossians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Therefore we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. If there was some doubt as to whether I was going to go or not, I certainly wouldn't be confident. These people are confident. They are assured of that. Now, verse 9. Wherefore we that have this confidence, we that are justified, we that are saved by grace through faith, we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we're made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. There can be no misunderstanding that. Compare again Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. On the one side we have justification, on the other side we've got rewards. Justification is by grace through faith. Rewards are by works. That is clear. Then let's try again. Turn please to 2 Timothy. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Timothy 2:11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, as in Romans chapter 6, we shall also live with him. We are guaranteed that. We are guaranteed that we who were crucified with Christ, that is, God identified us in his death. God identified us in his burial, and God identified us in his resurrection. We are dead with Christ. We are assured we'll live with Christ. We know that. We do not fear that. We do not fear going into the wrath of God. We are assured that they who are justified by faith shall be saved from wrath. We are assured, as in the book of Thessalonians, that we are not appointed unto wrath. That is guaranteed in the Scripture. Any man that believes on Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior is guaranteed and assured that his inheritance is secure in Christ Jesus. We shall live with him. Verse 12, the other side of the coin. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we do not abide by the doctrine in running the race set before us, laying off every weight that doth so easily beset us and whatever, run the race lawfully. If we don't do that, it's the same as denying him. He has presented it to us. You see, these rewards are his. It is for him that I'm to run this race. It is for his glory that I'm to put off the old man. It is for his praise and honor that I'm to put on the new man. It is for his glory and honor that I'm to run for this prize. I'm to seek it in his name. Turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I know that Hebrews chapter 12 is not to be interpreted as to the church, which is the body of Christ. Nevertheless, the truth is there. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, as in Philippians chapter 2, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, no cross, no crown. If you refuse to bear the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you refuse to deny those things that you can boast in and brag about, then you'll lose the crown. Notice back in the book of Ephesians again. In Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There can be no doubt about that. There need not be an argument about that. Now look at the other side of the coin, where we've been talking about a race and a prize. in Ephesians, look at the conflict. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, to put on the armor of God is to put on Christ Jesus. Go back to Romans and look at this truth in Romans chapter 14, which we have discussed here. Romans chapter 13, I'm sorry. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. These are the things that Paul accounted as dung, that he might win Christ. Let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man that is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When Paul said in Philippians, hold on to Ephesians, we're coming back to chapter 6, look in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. In other words, he put them off. He put off the old man. Come down to Philippians chapter 3, and notice in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. The things which are behind, obviously, are the things that he could boast in. It's the old man with all his works and his righteousness and his self-righteous, hypocritical, egotistical attitude. Put it all off, he's saying, and put on the new man. All right, back in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 11, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You cannot compete with the devil walking in your flesh. You cannot compete with the devil boasting in your own righteousness and bragging on your baptism and your church membership and your ordination and all those things. You can't fight this fight and run this race in those things. They are weights that weight you down and tie you down. And you know, the thing that is so fascinating by this is the fact that a man wins in this race not by elbowing everybody else aside, but by helping them. This is the only race I've ever heard of. Like in an automobile race. Why, in the automobile race, they get out there on those cars and they go around that track, and I see men bang into the bumper of other cars and spin them out. I see them bang into the side of the car and run the guy over the side of the racetrack. All these things they do. Can you imagine a man winning the prize by coming in the rear? Can you see a man out there? Can you see Jerry Lawley, who has come to our assembly here before, who races on Friday night out at Five Flags Speedway and over in Pensacola and Mobile on Saturday night and so forth? Can you see Jerry winning the prize by getting behind the other cars and helping them to get across the finish line in front of him? Why, nobody would even think of such a thing. And yet, in this race, this is the thing that is implied in this race. This is the thing that is implied in this conflict. We're to be an aid to others. We're to help them. And as we help them, we help ourselves. That is exactly the truth that is presented in the Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, and was so forth and so on. You're to take upon yourself the form of a servant and help other people. And as you help other people, then you begin to win the prize. Let the mind of Christ be in you. You can't do it unless you put on the armor. And if you are boasting in your water baptism and your church membership and walking the aisle for Jesus, and you're praying at the altar and boasting in your soul winning and handing out tracts and preaching on the street, knocking on doors and ringing bells for Jesus and all this kind of stuff, if that's what you have to boast in, you are elbowing other people aside and are not winning the prize at all. You're not even in the conflict. The devil's got your number, and he's already got you defeated before you even started in the race. Put on the armor of God. You've got a conflict. You've got a battle to fight. Again, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's a treacherous game, the wiles of the devil. He's a treacherous individual. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Instead of me exalting myself and lifting up myself and helping myself, I'm to put down self. I am to lift up the brother. Instead of me lifting up myself and elbowing him aside and pushing him down, I'm to push myself down and lift him up. Instead of me boasting in and bragging on becoming a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian, I'm to put down being a Methodist, a Baptist, and a Presbyterian and lift the other brother up in Christ. Lift him up in Christ. Exalt him in Christ. Why, that's exactly the truth that he presents. Look and hold on to Ephesians and go back to Philippians, and this time look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm not to elbow others aside and push them down and shove them down in Christ, but I'm to esteem others in Christ better than myself. I'm to help them. Alright, back in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, it is a conflict. There is a battle to fight. I am to use the sword of the Spirit upon self. I have a wrestling conflict. I am in an arena, and I am wrestling and struggling with this old man. And I'm to put this old man aside, and I'm to account him dead. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I'm to put him aside and quit bragging on him and quit boasting in him and boasting about him. I'm to exalt the righteousness of Christ in my ministry. I'm to wrestle, struggle. You see, on the one side, I have an inheritance. But I'm struggling for a prize that is associated with that inheritance. On the one side, I have salvation that assures me of an inheritance. But on the other side, I'm running a race that I might gain a reward that is associated with that inheritance. I am looking that one day I'm going to face my works at the judgment seat of Christ, whether they be good or bad. My works as a child of God. I'm aware that my sins are paid for in Christ. But my works are going to be tried. If my works in Christ are good, I'll have a reward. I'll have a crown. I'll have a prize. If my works are bad, I will suffer for those works. You know, even though my sins are all paid for, every sin that I commit in this flesh today, whether no matter what it is, any sin that I commit in this flesh is either a good or a bad work. If I yield to the lust of my flesh, I'm losing the battle. If I put down the works of my flesh, then I've won the battle through Christ. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. 16. Paul said, in effect, I've been praying for you, that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Come down to verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. You see, folks, I'm not so foolish as to think that I couldn't fulfill the lust of my flesh and be saved. Why, certainly I can. I know that there are things in this world today that I want. There is that which is in this world today that I want more than anything else that I want in this world. But I must crucify myself. I must cast off that desire. I must get that out of my mind and put it away from me. I think about the things where people used to say, I used to hear them say, the things that I used to love, I now hate. That which I now hate, well, that isn't the way it is. The thing that I used to love, I love just as much right now. That love has not changed. But I cannot have that which I love and desire and crave for and want. I must put it aside, put it away. And instead of me satisfying myself by reaching out and taking the things that I want, I must deny myself in order that I may help someone else, that I may help others, that I may not bring pain and misery to others, but rather that I might bring joy and happiness to them. Put off the old man, put on the new. Salvation is secure, but the reward must be won. Run the race, fight the conflict, and gain the prize associated with the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the thing that the book of Philippians is about. We're going to stop here for today. Next week, Lord willing, we'll take up again back in Philippians chapter 3 and see what the Lord has in store for us at that time. Until then, would you let's take a break right now.